All right, let's open our Bibles quickly. I want us to read again from the book of Luke chapter 18. It's something we have read many times. He said, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. And he said, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. Or I like King James' expression here. He said, avenge me of my adversary. He said, for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will give her legal protection, otherwise continually coming, all right, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? He said, I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, there's a reason why I'm reading this again, because this is so crucial for us to get the point that he said here, that the elect of God, which verse is that? Around verse 7. Yes. He said, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? That is, the Lord Jesus was saying, the elect of God are supposed to cry to him day and night. That's what I want to emphasize. That's what he was saying here. That their job is to cry day and night. And he said at the end, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That is, this is the problem. Will they sustain the day and night cry, or they will lose faith because of the things that have not yet occurred? All right. As a result of their prayer, you see that in verse 1, he said he was telling a parable to show that they ought to pray and not to lose heart. They ought to pray and not to get tired. I've said it again and again. This prayer battle is a persistent one. It's not just a name it and claim it thing. Is that we take the word of God and we lift it up and we keep it up. Please go and listen to our series again, all right? The rod of God. I discussed that there. That this is the way it is. We take something that God has said and we lift it up continually. Let us not forget, the seed did not part in 1 minute. The seed did not part in 1 hour. The seed parted after a whole night. And one thing I noticed, the Bible didn't emphasize it, but I suspect that Moses had to keep his hand up while that was going on. How do I know that? Because later on, when they had to fight a battle, all right, against Ai, Joshua was in the battle, and his hands had to be up with the staff of God in his hand. You read through the story of Moses, you will see the position of that staff determines whether he will have victory or he will not have victory. The position of the staff, that tells me that anytime we are not having victory, it is because the staff is down. Do you get my point? The hands are down. Anytime things are not working the way they are supposed to work. You know, the one day I was talking with one sister. She's also a minister of the gospel. She was telling me something. She's a minister of the gospel. We're discussing some things. And she quoted a man of God for me. That the man said that, talking about finances now, that if he needs money, what he does is to put pressure on the word of God. That thing struck me. I never forgot it. That he said, what you do is to put pressure on the word of God. We're talking about things that are big, things that are expensive. So the man said, you don't need money. And that is true. I pray you get this walk of faith is real. He said, you don't need money. You need to believe God. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
that is, anything you need, you believe God for it. You don't focus on money. Life is very spiritual. If your focus is on money, until your money is enough, you will not get many things done. But if you focus on God, many things will be done without you seeing that amount of money that you thought would have been necessary. Many things will be accomplished without you even seeing money at all. Many things will be accomplished. Money will come in a supernatural way. But all this while, you must focus your mind on the word of God, and you must put pressure, like that man said, on God's word. You don't put pressure on people. Many people think that you get things done by, connection, people you know. You don't put pressure on your pockets. You think that the more money I have, the more I get done. We know, as a matter of fact, the poor and the rich, they have one thing in common. You see, wisdom is a tangible, spiritual substance. You will get results with wisdom that people are using millions and millions and millions of naira or even dollars to get. If you put pressure on God's word, He may give you wisdom and not give you money, as long as the thing is done. What life does to us is to distract us. And these are the problems with people who have money. If you have a lot of it, you tend to have less faith, unless your money was built, upon the foundation of faith. Otherwise, if you have plenty of resources, your faith will be small. That is why for the people that have a lot of medical insurance, medical care, they don't know how to believe God for healing. They don't. Not because they are bad people, but because the pressure is not there. But when they tell you that, this one, the surgery is going to be 1.5 million naira, you will pray that this, and that because of that, listen, I don't have time to talk about faith again now. You see, that desire, that intense realization of what is going to happen will provoke faith in your heart. It will. What am I saying? Listen, we must never forget that our victory in life is dependent upon how we put pressure on the word of God, and we must never let it go. There was something that Paul said when he was writing to the book of Romans, when he was writing the letter. He reminded the church to be devoted to prayer. That they must be devoted to prayer. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to get tired. And that's what I want to say again. And it's not as if we have prayed this prayer before. No, we keep on lifting the word of God up over every situation of life. You know, I thought about it this morning when I woke up very early. I just realized that once I leave the room, you know, one thing I'm going to do? Guess. I'm going to eat breakfast. When I get home this evening, guess something I'm going to do? I didn't eat this afternoon, so guess what I'm going to do this night? I'm going to eat my supper, all right? Now, when I wake up tomorrow morning, I'm not a fasting type. We just wake up in the morning, go on hunger strike. I hardly do such things. It's just me. You don't have to follow me. You can follow those who fast for 90 days. You say, Pastor Banky, you don't fast. What you call fast, what most people call fast, I don't. I'm confessing openly. Why is he laughing? I don't. What people call fast, I don't. I don't just wake up in the morning and decide that I will go on hunger strike. I'm not in prison. I've not been locked up illegally. Are you getting my point? So I would go on hunger strike. Christians, fasting is what? God's word. Time out, take time out to settle down and focus on the word. At such times, food, partying, weddings, everything become a distraction. I don't believe in the Christianity that's hungry and goes for wedding. Only wicked souls do that. Yes. You get to the place where are rejoicing. Jesus got there, he ordered for wine. Are you getting my point? You will now go there, you say you are fasting. When did you see Jesus go to a party and is fasting? All this kind of life of iniquity Christians live sometimes. I'm telling you, when you want to fast, set yourself what? Aside. It is the aside that's my own issue. It's the aside that's the issue. So it's not that I'm not saying that if you don't eat, you will go to hell. I didn't say that. I am just saying that don't tell me you are fasting if you are not set aside. You go to the office, guru, morning till night, because you have not eaten. You tell me you are fasting. You are lying. You are not fasting. You are working. People are really fasting unless they sinned. People are under punishment from God. And who Jesus have not? Jesus didn't die for their sins. Are you getting my point? Those people that, there are some people, their sins were excluded from the sacrifice of Jesus. Those are the people that have to pay by themselves. Such people, they will go to work, they will be hungry, they will be slaving, and they now say that, are you not going to eat? He said, no, I'm fasting. Just know that your sins were not included in that sacrifice. If it was included, you wouldn't do that. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? So fasting for us believers is what? Aside. Take time out aside with God's word, with prayer. Once you come out and start chatting with the public, better open your mouth and put something inside. Are you getting my point? That's the word of God. So like I was saying, tomorrow morning, for that reason, I have to go out tomorrow morning to go to work and stuff like that. What am I going to do if I have the time in the morning? No, think about it. What am I going to do food-wise? I'll eat breakfast, right? Okay. If I come back in the evening, do you think if I don't eat lunch, am I likely to eat again at night when I get back home? But think about it now. Every day eating, they tired to the job. No, let's think about it. Shouldn't you be tired of eating? Oh, you don't want to be tired of eating. Now, but Jesus said, the word of God says like this: man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, they shall live. For that reason, the way people take, listen, I'm convinced about this. If we take time out to eat God's word, the way we eat this food, we will see the results that he promised to. The problem is that we don't eat it enough. That's what I'm, that, you see, I woke up this morning and I started thinking about it again. I said, Banky, you're not eating well. I told myself this morning that you're not eating well. And you know what I mean by eating well? I don't mean bread and egg and akamu and akara. That's not what I mean. You see many people who go around jogging around Okpara Square? They're not eating well. They want to jog into health. If God's word is not feeding you, you, if you like, you run from now till tomorrow. Listen, one of my colleagues sent me a message the other day. I said, please, one of my friends, this was from England, that one of their friends, I think also a colleague, I think the guy is also, yes, the guy is a doctor, that he just died that morning. And everybody was telling him, do, sorry. He said, that man went out in the morning to go and jog. He died while jogging. Listen, a doctor living in the UK died while jogging. These are the things that are supposed to make you live forever. One, you're a doctor, you know health matters. Two, you live in a place where healthcare is good and you're exercising. You should live forever. If we are to go by what people say.
Yes, sir.
But what happened? The man, in fact, he sent a message. You know, the people are on Facebook and Twitter and all of that. He just sent a chat out in the morning. He's about to go jogging. That was his last communication on this earth. This was last week. Not a story of 17 years ago. Just a few days ago. It's not up to 6 days. So anytime I see people running around Okpara Square in the morning, please run around after you have jogged spiritually.
Yes, sir.
Are you getting my point here?
Yes, sir.
People run for 1 hour. They've not declared God's word for 10 minutes. Jesus said, you know, I thought about it. I was telling my wife this morning. I reasoned about it. They would say Jesus went to pray all night. Paul said, be devoted to prayer. The Lord Jesus said, don't men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Then I realized, therefore, that means that was his habit. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, that was his habit. That was the habit of Paul. So I said, okay, what were they always making requests concerning? I realized that prayer is not just about making requests. So when they wake up in the morning to eat breakfast, are you getting my point? Real breakfast. I don't mean fried egg and bread and mayonnaise and toast. No, I mean real breakfast. Real breakfast. Psalm 1 breakfast. Are you getting my point? Yes. John chapter 12 breakfast. Ephesians chapter 1 breakfast. When Jesus will wake up, I believe those are the things he ate. I remember when we were in school, those days, they taught us that Jesus lived in Psalm 23. And that was why when they asked for supplies, he was not surprised. So any money there, Peter said no. I think Judas said the offering was not much yesterday. And Jesus smiled and said, Judas, he has done something to the offering. He said, anyway, let's give them offense. Look, go. Instantly, the Holy Spirit told him where his money was. I'm convinced again, the Holy Spirit wouldn't reveal such things if you have not been eating well. You know what I mean by eating well?
Yes, sir.
If you not wake up that morning to eat well, declaring that the Lord is my... The Holy Spirit has to confirm something that he said. Do you get what I'm saying here?
Yes.
That's what the Holy Spirit does. He confirms something that the word of God says. So it's when you've uttered that, that you say, let's confirm this thing. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. Now, I have a habit. My breakfast is not much varied. I don't eat rice in the mornings. It's against my religion. I don't eat yam. I don't eat all of those. I don't know how to manage it. I usually eat bread and all stroke, you know, things like that combination. My breakfast on the past, bread, cornflakes, akamu with akara, you know, those kind of things. Combined in different ways. I don't eat akara with cornflakes, so please don't go and tell anybody. I'm just saying, before you start warning that this guy, why they chop like this? Are you okay? I'm just saying that those are, anytime I'm eating breakfast, 9 times out of 10, it contains bread and stuff like that. Now, what I'm saying is that I have not gotten tired all these years. I don't believe in variety for breakfast. It causes confusion. If you give me pounded yam in the morning, by 11 I will be hungry. I don't know. My stomach will just believe I have not eaten. Now, why am I saying all of these things? I don't have too much variety for breakfast, but I'm not tired. It can be the same word. That's the point I'm making. It can be your breakfast is Psalm 23 for this year. That this year, my breakfast is Psalm 23. Not religious Psalm 23, but revelatory Psalm 23. That is, this one is like I'm eating. I'm not, and listen, it's not like let me read my Bible for the day as if you are doing God a favor. About God, if we don't read the scriptures, they will say we do not do our prayer, morning devotion. Pastor will say we are not serious. And even you always side the pastor, you won't bless us. Because we did not do our morning devotion. So you take in the morning. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Checking your time. He leads, you know, at the end of the day, you check it. I've done it for 15 minutes. No. That's not what I mean. I mean the Psalm 23 of, let me go and eat breakfast. Let me go and eat what?
Breakfast.
Let me eat. Derek Prince said he was sick for some time as a soldier in the Second World War. Something came out on his skin. Doctors got tired and they left it that this one is not curable. Then he read Proverbs chapter 4. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Don't let them depart from your heart. Don't let them depart from where? From your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. No. Are you sure? And don't let them depart from one place and keep them in the midst of the other place, between your heart and your heart. So for their life to those who find them, and health to their whole body. Literal Hebrew says, and medicine to their whole body. So he said, is that so? So he started eating that medicine like 3 times every day, as if somebody was giving him tablets to swallow. After a few weeks, he got cured entirely. The word works.
Amen.
I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
The problem is lack of diligence. That's why he said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the heart? That is faith on the earth. The reflection of faith is that persistence in prayer, persistence in declaring the word of God. And like I've said many times, why did he say we must not lose heart? It's because sometimes it does not appear as if it is working yet. Let me share a revelation, we'll start praying. Are you doing something that is right now? You are doing ministry. You started out in ministry, started out in business, and you are wondering how it will work. Chris Evans said something the other day, very interesting. He said he went somewhere to go and do a program. He told the pastor, don't bother printing flyers. You don't need all these banners and all these posters. He said it's not necessary. He said, yeah, let's just start preaching. He said, as we are preaching, they will start coming. He said, if you see him do banners and billboards, it's because one man who was blessed by his ministration, the man owns a massive printing press. The man volunteers by himself that anytime he's good anywhere, he'll come and do the billboard. So that's the only reason why he does billboards. Because one man decided to be doing it. He said, because he believes that it's not necessary. You started a church, you started a ministry, started a business. Listen, if you like, do publicity from now till tomorrow. I've been doing this job for a long time. Publicity does not bring anybody. I have printed 1,000 flyers before. The last day of my program was me, my wife, and my friend Jukes. 3 of us from 1,000 flyers. Hallelujah. You hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Not 3 people. Nobody, because those were my friends. One was me. Now you forgot it. Steve, one was me. One was my wife. Where would she go? So I thought about it. That what are we supposed to do? In fact, that's what I said, we're supposed to have a meeting, me and you, and Israel later on. I said, listen, all you need to do is just continue sowing the seed and watering it. How do you water it? It's with the word of God. It's washing her by the washing of water, by the word. It's the word of God. So what is the seed that you are sowing? That thing you are doing, that message you are preaching, that business you are doing, the diligence with which you are doing it is the seed. What is the water? The word of God. So every day, start sprinkling the water on it. Start sprinkling the water on it. Eventually. What did I say?
Eventually.
Listen, it is growing at that time. One day it will manifest its growth. Please go and read Happiest People on Earth by Damon Shakarian again. Damon Shakarian used every method he knew on the earth. And God was watching him. The day, God is very good. The day he gave up and said, all right, I am not doing again. The Lord said, good. Now that he has almost drowned entirely, we cannot rescue him. You know the principle of rescuing a drowning man. So I thought about it. I said, listen, anything you are doing in life, if God commanded you to do it, don't worry. When results start coming, now you go tire in quotes. I'm not joking about that. You are the one that will start wondering, who begat me all these children? That's what the Bible says. You start wondering, what happened? Let nobody come and teach you the principles that you press these keys. No, people start telling you that in 2 years, this man got this result. Listen, my friend. This, you know what they said? That every overnight success is after a long night. You've heard that before?
Yes.
One day I was watching the video of Aswe Kiyo. When that time he did Wake Kilimo, and he was everywhere. And his pastor was talking on TV, in the video, that, you know, how God, this and that. And that you too, follow the Lord like that, you'll be an overnight success. I was standing with a man of God who was Aswe Kiyo's friend. He didn't know when he shouted. This was my sitting room. He screamed. He said, which overnight success? Which overnight success? I know that guy. He was doing this thing for more than 10 years. Not even 10 years is not like he did for 10 years. More than. He said, the guy said he needed to plant 10 choirs before he had any hope for breakthrough. He said, the man was so angry. He said, which overnight success? And it turned to fight too. Like, why can't you? Are you getting my point here? That the man was there. You hear, the first day I heard of T.D. Jakes, shortly after, the man don't blow. Are you getting my point? But go to YouTube. Google up some of his old videos. The man was looking older then than he is right now. And now he's 20 years older now. But he was looking older at that time. Why? Because the suit was out of alignment. Yes, but no, I'm serious. That's what the trousers could just do. Like this. And bro was massively fat. And he said, you know, as the Lord was beginning to speak, you know, I began to see, he preached that like that for more than 12 years in one church. Nobody knew he was there. The day breakthrough came was because he went to preach in one of his friend's conferences. And then Carlton Pearson, his friend, put a few minutes, 7 minutes on TV to fill in a slot for a 28-minute program. And this man who has died now, found out TBN, Paul Crouch walked in, put on his TV, and saw one fat black man saying, show them your wounds. Talking about how Jesus came and showed his disciples his wounds. And that suddenly answered a question that had been on Paul Crouch's mind for a long time. So he picked his phone and called somebody, who's that fat man? He says, T.D. Jakes, get him for me. And that's how he became the T.D. Jakes that you know. You get my point? It was nothing that was overnight. They've collected his car from him before because he couldn't pay. Yes. Removed furniture from his house. And his children thought they were thieves. And why is daddy not fighting the thieves and is watching them come out all his furniture? I hope you get my point. What am I going to say? Sow the seed. Tell your neighbor, sow the seed.
Sow the seed.
Then water it. Remember, water is what? The word of God. The seed is that thing you are doing. If preaching, you are preaching, preach it. Business you are doing, do it. Whatever it is, just do it. Be persistent. Choose something you can do for a long time and not get tired. But regularly, what do you do? Water it. Water it. That's why Jesus said, men ought always to pray. That's why Paul said, be devoted to prayer. Let's start again today. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I thank you because I realize that you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. I thank you because you are the judge of the whole earth. My life is not an accident. You are working in me. Let's begin to give him thanks. Let's start with that. Let's begin to give him thanks. You are working in me. Say, Lord, you are working in me. Say, Lord, you are working in me. You are working in my life. You are working in my life. You purposed something for me. I am a person born on purpose. I'm a man, I'm a woman of purpose. I am not an accident. Yeah, I feel they should thank God for this. Say, Lord, thank you, you are purifying me. Say, Lord, thank you, you are purifying me. Say, Lord, thank you, you are purifying me. Because that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. Say, Lord, thank you, you are purifying me. Say, Lord, thank you, you are purifying me. Say, Lord, thank you, you are purifying me. Give him thanks for that. It's so important we recognize that. People feel that they are being oppressed. No, you are being purified. People think they are suffering. God says, no, you are being purified. Thank you for that. Say, Lord, thank you for the purification that I'm going through. Thank you because you are cutting off everything that is not pure in me. Every branch that is wrong, you are cutting them. You are pruning me. You are pruning. It's called pruning. Give the Lord thanks for it. Say, Lord, thank you for pruning. Say, Lord, thank you for pruning. The Bible says that in everything, give thanks. I want you to give thanks. That thing is in my mind. For that thing that went wrong, that place where you failed, give thanks for that. Hallelujah. I want you to give God thanks for that. You invested in a business, everything vanished. Give thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because I will never have success outside you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because I don't want to succeed unless you are the one bringing forth the success. For that thing you invested money in and you lost, give him thanks. For that thing you invested time in and you lost, thank him. The Bible says, for everything, give thanks. One of the ones I used to laugh telling young men, and young women too, not only them, not only young men. For that relationship, you invested time and prayer. You even heard God concerning it. You know what I'm saying? Yet it failed. Give him thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Because you are removing everything that is not supposed to be in my life. Say, Lord, you are removing everything that is not supposed to be, that's supposed to be in my life. That's not supposed to be there. You are removing it. Just thank him. From the bottom of your heart. Say, Lord, I'm grateful. Mention that experience. Say, Lord, for this, I thank you. For the time, I thank you. For the money, I thank you. Because the Bible says all things are working together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Another one. For people who disappointed you, begin to give name them and start thanking God for their lives. I was so sure my uncle would give me that money. Ah, Lord, for Uncle Ben, thank you. Because he didn't have to give me. Either did not have the cash or did not have the willingness. I thought that when I moved to that city, this man will help me, but he did not. Lord, I want to thank you for his life. The Bible says forgive. Why does it say forgive? Because people offended you because your hope was in them. Say, Lord, I forgive my uncle. Not because he did anything bad, though. It's my way of repenting. That my eyes will never be on anybody again. So I'm asking, as a result of that, I'm asking, bless him. Before, deep inside my heart, I wasn't so sure I was happy with him. But now I'm asking you, bless him. That young woman that promised to marry me at the end of the day, after I've invested my time and energy and my money, she now said the Holy Spirit says something. Begin to pray for her. Lord, help her. Let her understand you more. Give her a good husband. Make her a happy person. I release everybody from my heart today. It's very important. I want us to give thanks for these things. Give thanks for every disappointment. Specifically, name those things, name those people, and give God thanks for them. Paul said, in everything, give thanks. He said, this is the will of God concerning you. It's the will of God for you to give thanks. It is the will of God for you to give thanks. Now begin to rejoice. Begin to rejoice in truth that you have come to understand. Begin to rejoice in it. Say, Lord, I rejoice in the Spirit. I rejoice because I realize that you are working in me. You are bringing everything to perfection. You are perfecting everything that concerns me. You know, it's interesting. Paul wrote it like that as an instruction. He said, rejoice always. He said, pray without ceasing. He now said, in everything, give thanks. He said, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Let's do those three things. Let's rejoice. Say, Lord, thank you. When you are rejoicing, you smile. You are happy. You literally smile. You put a smile on your face and say, Lord, thank you. I am glad. Lord, thank God I didn't get that visa when I was rushing for it. Lord, I am happy you didn't give it to me. Thank you. You're a good God. You know when to deny your children things that are not good for them. Rejoice. Put a smile on your face as you tell him thank you. Be happy. Be happy. Say, Lord, you are good. Yes, God doesn't make a mistake. The Bible says that all his work, everything he does is perfect. He's a God of faithfulness without injustice. Good and upright is he. Say, Lord, I thank you. Give him thanks. Now, I want us to do something now. Let's, again, lift up God's word. Let's lift up the word of God. In fact, I remember we used to have this. Very good. Very, very, very good. Like I said, you can decide that this year, my breakfast is Psalm 23. My lunch is portion of Psalm 119. And my supper is Psalm 34. You carve it out. You can say this year, my breakfast is... Oh, no, there's snack. Oh. There's mid-morning snack. There's late-night snack. People eat all kinds. You look for every excuse to eat. Are you getting my point? Have you seen people saying that they're trying to add weight? Some people just wake up and say, I want to add weight. So you'll be looking for every excuse to eat. Are you getting me? Spiritually, you need to add weight. Yeah, you need to add weight. You need to add weight. Spiritual weight is tangible. There were some boys, very light. Each one of them weighing like 6 kg each. They went to cast out demons. That's why the demons could throw them. Each person weighing 6 kg. The demons said, good, grab them. Because they didn't have weight in the realm of the spirit. They didn't have. It's not how you look physically. In the realm of the spirit, they know. You know, Jesus didn't used to raise his voice to pray. Honestly, I pray we'll get to a point where we'll stop shouting, thinking that, you know, Christians, we turn some things to good habits. Say, God is not, when we're young, they say, God is not deaf. Say, he's not nervous. He's not afraid of our shout. Is it necessary? When it's time to shout, it will come out of you naturally, but don't make it a habit. When they told the Lord Jesus, are you not concerned that we are going to perish in the storm? The Bible says he rebuked the storm. That rebuke, I've heard different people teach about it, and it's based on truth. He said, what do you mean by rebuked? He's like, behave yourself. What's all this nonsense? You know, that kind of thing. It was an attitude thing. It wasn't like, right now, yeah, Peter, hold me. John, hold me. I want a masquerade. Are you getting my point? Now, masquerade, they do like that. They woke Jesus up, just rubbed his eyes. What is it? They said, we're about to perish. Why are you perishing? Are they pushing you from the village? They said, look at the storm. They said, oh, the storm. The Bible said, he rebuked the storm. He said, peace be still. When he was going to call Lazarus out, listen to me. He only spoke loud because he wanted people to hear what was going on. And he said it like that. What am I saying? That's because of weight in the spirit. That's how people are heavy in the spirit. That's how they behave. Please go and listen to our series again, Total Faith. Total Faith. When people are heavy in the realm of the spirit, okay, they speak casually and trees die. I don't know whether you're getting my point. They speak casually and trees die. When we went for that Chris Evans program in Asaba last week, he said, from now on, fast your words. What was he saying? That your words will be so powerful. Things you think are casual, they are going to be very weighty. So be careful what you say. What am I saying? Let's talk about it again. In the realm of the spirit, for us to be fat is important. And those who are trying to add weight in the realm of the spirit, they look for every opportunity to eat. They eat breakfast, they eat lunch, they eat supper, they do mid-morning snack, and they do late-night snack. They wake up at night, they take something small and eat. So you can make up your mind that, listen, this year, Psalm 23 is my breakfast, Psalm 91, my supper, lunch, I read from Isaiah 53, the mid-morning snack, you get my point? It can be the same scripture. It's not variety. That's why I said earlier, I've eaten about the same breakfast, very narrow selection for the last many years. I leave office. Thank you very much. In fact, not to slim down, I would do so. Physically, we are trying to eat little so we can calm down, you know. We want to be able to run up the stairs. It's not the key to long life, just that your clothes fit you better, that's all. The Lord is good. Now, what am I going to explain here? Listen, we must feed ourselves with the Word of God, even if it's like repetition. There's something my wife did to our wardrobe the other day, which is very nice. You know, there's one problem with being the preacher. You don't get blessed so much. It's those who you are preaching to that hear all the word. So everything we don't preach, my wife, they practice. Me, I sleep. Yesterday, I told myself, I said, Banky, why don't you listen to your own messages? I said, it's my own voice. It doesn't sound nice. Which is why I like editing our messages, because that's my opportunity to hear it. You know what my wife did? Come to my room. She plastered paper everywhere on the wardrobe door. This one particular scripture, she has written it, described her whole life from the word of God. She wake up in the morning, she will face the mirror like Babalawo. Listen, she face the wall. I'm not kidding. She will face the wardrobe like Babalawo. Oh, may you become a Babalawo in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In fact, you are really a Babalawo. Now, if may you practice, now the talk. She will face it before she goes, her face like this, and be reading things that are written. That's how to grow fast spiritually. Let's declare God's word. Ooh, the Lord is good. Everybody say, the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
Say, the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
Say, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Now, I want you to do it like you mean it. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not
I am not afraid.
I am not afraid
of economic recession.
Of economic recession.
Because the Lord is my shepherd.
Because the Lord is my shepherd.
Let me say something. Listen, we are not trying to be nice. We are eating. Are you getting my point? We are declaring God's word so that we can hear it. All right? What I'm going to do, let's do something. After we declare, if you want, when I say, Selah, you know what that means? You will pause, you will think about it, say it to yourself, quarrel if you like. You can hold your pocket and say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You should get the point. The Lord is my shepherd. Listen, the Lord is my shepherd. You know they are talking in the pocket. You can't just be broke anyhow. I want to pay school fees. You are not flowing. What's your problem? Don't you know the Lord is my shepherd? The Lord is good? I'm serious. This is, oh God, if to say we decrease more, we'll see more results. No, we need to practice more madness. We are too nice. When I was a young student those days, I saw one brother talking to himself. I almost ran away from the room. It was later on I realized that he was a spiritual man and I was a carnal man. He was reading, he would open the book. Then he would stop reading, he would start talking. Bro was fit. Do you understand? He was pumping his life, pumping the environment with God's word. After a while, I wore my slippers and took a stroll because I wasn't comfortable again. I thought the bro was not balanced. May we be unbalanced like that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Believe me, Paul said, do not be drunk with wine. But what? Be filled with the Spirit. And we read from what? Colossians. When he was saying that in chapter 3, he explained that be filled with God's word. Let the word of Christ. Now, I'm going to have something here. When men are drunk with wine, it shows. They stagger. They talk anyhow. Where everybody should be silent, they are talking. You are getting what I'm saying? They drive, you know what I mean? Left, you know. You know, a time should come, you'll be so filled with God's word, your neighbor will wonder whether you are mad. Once that happens to you, rejoice. The time of your breakthrough has come. I hope you're getting my point. Let's do it again. Say, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want. Say,
I am not afraid.
They may call it economic recession.
They may call it economic recession.
But I am not afraid.
Because
the Lord is my shepherd.
Say, he
blesses me. And he supplies all my needs. Say, my needs are supplied by him. Say, he that supplies the food for the birds,
he is
supplying my needs. Say, I follow after righteousness, and all things are added to me. Like I said, sailor, take a minute. Talk to yourself. Meditate upon those words. Realize that your job is not the source of your supply. Your certificate is not the source of your supply. people you know. God has taught me through experiences. I was meditating this morning again, and I began to give him thanks. Because God will deliberately frustrate where your eyes could have been on. People you thought would have helped you, they are the ones that will not help you. Don't be angry with them. It is God. Your job is not even your supply. It's just a place where God wants you to be faithful. He wants you to, you know, to practice righteousness there. Distribute goodness, righteousness from that place. That's what the job is. Actually, God is his supplier. Declare it again loud. Say, the Lord is my supplier.
The Lord is my supplier.
Say, the Lord is my supplier.
The Lord is my supplier.
You know, please, let's say this again. You know, remember the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God and do what? And put it on a vain thing. I'm happy you remember that. You don't take the name of God and place it on a vain thing. Now, listen to David Paulson again today, and again and again. He said one day, in fact, this afternoon, I heard him say this one again. He was talking about the name of God. He said, it's called Yahweh. He said, I don't know whether I'm pronouncing it correctly. He said, because no Jew has agreed to pronounce the name for me. Because for them, it's against the law to pronounce the name. So I said, I don't know whether I'm correct. He said, but anyway, it doesn't matter. It has no meaning. Did you hear that? I said, wow, this man said this. He said, it has no meaning. He said, because that language does not resonate with me. He said, one day I had to pray and said, God, what does this, give me a word in English that explains what this word means. He said, and one word dropped in his mind instantly, and that word was always. He said, and it makes sense because the word is from the Hebrew word that says to be, I am. All right, you understand? So he said, that's what that word called Jehovah or Yahweh, that's what it means. One who exists. He said the word came to his mind that says always. Now, this was the one I heard him say today. He now said, the same thing you've heard me saying before, that why speak a language you don't understand? He said he now calls God always my supplier, always my healer. Are you getting my point? Nobody else is my supplier. He is always my supplier. That is the name of God. I heard him say this one this afternoon. I was excited. I said, is the word, is revelation of God? It doesn't matter who's preaching it. You know, we've been saying it before again and again. All this Greek word we call God, live and small. He prefers the English word. Don't think he thinks you are spiritual when you say, oh, thou Jehovah Jireh. He said, my son, what does that mean? He said, it means you are the gyrating Jehovah. No. Are you getting my point? Let's call him his name again. Say, the Lord my supplier. Call him by his name. Say, now, call him by his name at your own time. Just call him by his name. You are my supplier. You have a need somewhere. Look at that need. And upon that need, declare, the Lord my supplier. Always my supplier. Always my supplier. Always my supplier. Always my supplier. Call him the healer. Always my healer. Not a doctor, not medicine, not an injection. He is the one that's always. That's his name. Always. Always my healer. Lay your hands on your body. Whenever you have a pain, something that's ailing you, say, always my healer. Always my healer. Always my healer. Always, always. That is who he is. That is who he is. In the midst of economic downturn, that's outside. He's always my supplier. Because of him, I am like a tree firmly planted by rivers of water. I yield my fruit in my own season. In all that I do, I prosper because he's always my supplier. Now, we're in Psalm 23. What we're reading is Psalm 23. Let's declare it again. Say, always is with me. That is God. His name is always. And always with me. I am never alone. I am never alone. He's always with me. Are you getting my point? Now let me say this again. Now they say the grass is always greener on the other side. Now what that means is that people would think the other side is better. But the Bible says he makes me lie down Where? In green pastures. Whatever God has planted me today is green. That's what I'm talking about. It's green. You know, my wife and I were discussing yesterday night. After looking up and down, let nobody deceive you that one business is easy. And when you enter, you go and make money. Even MMM that's giving you 30% a month is roasting you for eating later. Or no, more like it's fattening you up for slaughter. It will soon chop you. That money, listen, I don't mean to curse you, but let me just tell you, it's the word of God. You can't go away with it. It's a spirit. You will put it again so that it can yield some more, and that's the month it will collapse. All the years that the locust blessed you, it will now to collect double back. But I'm going to say, there's nothing that is easy. This one is easy, this one is easy. No, there's nothing like that. Wherever you are, declare it is my own green land. America is not greener than where you are. Listen, the major reason why less Nigerians go hungry in America than in Nigeria is simply because there's nobody to beg for money when you are there. So guys, wake up and tell themselves the truth. This was many years ago. I handed my brother-in-law some, we're in the U.S. He and I were driving, because he's been driving up and down, buying for, so I give him money to just buy something, like fuel. So as I handed him the $20 or so, he laughed. He said, bros, you know, since my people now wafi guys. He said, bros, since I call this country, only 3 people don't dash me money. That was how he said it. He said, one, now your wife, that's his sister. He said, 2, my mama. God is my witness. This was how he said it. He said, this one are the 3rd one. That is all of you 3 from Nigeria. He said, this country where they, nobody. He said, nobody. Well, there was one girl that saved us somewhere. So I tipped the girl $1. You know what he said? He said, you know, says that girl, take, put the money in for pocket. $1 like this. He said, it is easy to find. For America. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, there's no green land anywhere. It's as you look at the land that God has placed you in. Begin to declare that he makes me lie down in green pastures. Declare, say he makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Where I am right now is green. This land will yield its increase for me. This land will yield its increase for me. This land will yield its increase for me. This land will yield increase for me. In the name of Jesus, I speak to this land. Hear the word of God. You will yield increase for me. I sow in my land and I reap 100-fold. Declare it. This land will yield increase for me. Declare it. Continue to declare it. Like I said, it's not just say it once. Begin to declare God's word. He makes all grace abound towards me. And we have all sufficiency in all things. This land will yield increase for me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Declare it always with me. Always making me lie down in green pastures. I want us to declare it. This land will yield increase for you. Declare it. In the name of Jesus. Declare it. Oh no, don't stop now. Speak to your business. Speak to that thing in your hands that you are doing. You will yield increase for me. You will yield increase for me. I am not a failure. I am a blessed man. I'm a blessed woman. Spiritually, I'm blessed. In all that I do, I prosper. This land is green for my sake. In the name of Jesus. One scripture that... Those days, listen to this. You've heard me say this many times, and it guided me, and it's guiding me till now. It guided me that this, when I needed to make decisions, I was not afraid. Once I was reading, And I found out that he said that I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I realized that God's order is not that I run up and down looking for things. Things are supposed to flow towards me. What I'm supposed to run up and down looking for as a child of God is how I can be effective. Where is the will of God for my life? Are you getting my point? How can I be a blessing to people? That's what I look up, run up and down, in quote now, looking for. That's my focus. As for my blessing, oh God, they will find me. They will find me.
Amen.
The things that are mine will find me.
Amen.
I always like to say it, David did not look for Samuel. Samuel looked for David. Let me say it again. David did not look for Samuel. Samuel looked for David. Let me say it one more time. David never looked for Samuel. It was Samuel that began to look for David. He came to Judah. He said, where's the house of a man called Jesse? He says, on the other side. He reached there. Is it this house? Is there a Jesse here? They said, yes. Come in. Ah, prophet, you're welcome, sir. Yeah, I came for sacrifice. Gather your sons. They gathered all the sons, and David was absent. Now, many people have argued over this, but I am convinced about it. Why was David absent? Did Samuel not say, gather all your sons? Why was David absent? Listen, there was something wrong with David. The father deliberately excluded him. No, that one is sure. Because the father, he knew he was there. They said, gather all your sons. So the father decided that this one is not one of them. One day, you know, I've heard somebody quote it before. People say, no, that's not what he meant. I reasoned it. He said, that's why David used it prophetically. And he said, in sin did my mother conceive me. He wasn't talking about, you know, we were born in sin. No, he was saying the relationship that brought me to life was illegitimate. That was why his father did not call him. They were doing sacrifice. You know how long it took for each person to pass? They now said, ah, are these all your sons? Well, there is still one. I don't like talking about him. That experience offends my soul. The mother dumped him on me. David was not born the normal way. That was why the father deliberately excluded him. Yet, listen to me. Yet, Samuel said, we will not sit down to do any other thing until the boy arrives. I hope you are getting my point here. David never looked for Samuel. Samuel was the one that was hunting for David. And the moment David entered, he said, arise, anoint this one, because this is he. Blessings are labeled. They are not games of chance. They are labeled. They are not games of chance. If you like, run somewhere because you say money is plenty there. If the money doesn't have your name, you won't get anyone. You know what I found out? I was, ask your wife. There's plenty of money in the vault. Why does she not change your car every day? She works in the bank. Why does she not come and say, ah, my husband, I don't like this, your car again. Let me bring another one. Why? No matter how plenty the money looks, each one get labeled. You may think it's anonymous. Carry one first. Go inside there and carry one and say it's anonymous. All of them look alike. Forget it. The bankers knows. They know who owns what. They look like cash, but they have records of saying that, look, Mr. So-and-so, 17 million. And as for Okemote, 25,000, forget, come back. Are you getting my point here? You can't just get them and say, after all, my wife works there, so hey, maybe when you are coming back, bring me 8 million naira. She will ask you, husband, when did you deposit 8 million? They want to run to places where nothing is kept for them. Listen, but Apostle, if you kept 10 million in that bank and then you don't go near it and you're a place you want to buy something, you give them a check. They know how to bring the money to that place. Are you getting my point here? Listen to me. It is forbidden for a child of God to be running up and down looking for blessing. A child of God locates where he's supposed to be faithful. If he's on the farm, keeping the sheep, his father's sheep, when Samuel arrives, they will call him.
Are you getting my point? Listen, don't be afraid. You will be located.
Amen.
No matter, even if you're inside one farm, deep inside, you know, off the main road, they say, manage this rice farm. Don't worry. Someone will come one day and wait and say, until you come from there, we are not eating anything. Blessings are what? They are commanded. Declare it again. This land is green for me. Declare, my blessing will come to me. Declare,
my blessing will come to me.
Say, I am not afraid.
I am
at peace.
My blessing is labeled.
Listen, my blessing is labeled.
If
I say this, it will make you laugh.
My husband is labeled.
My wife is labeled too. All the married ones are not talking. Because they have already labeled the guys. They've labeled the women. Say, waiting. I know she's labeled. Go and ask her. My name is on her. But that's the reality. It is not how you dress that they make the man notice you. You will forget what you were wearing the first day he saw you. I hope you're getting my point here.
Yes, sir.
Declare it again. This land is green for me.
Goodness
is flowing towards me. Say, prosperity is flowing towards me.
Like a river.
And the wealth of the nations.
Like an overflowing stream.
Like I said, sailor, take a few minutes. Think about it, about your own life. This truth about you. Somebody wanted to make a decision, wanted to travel before. Right now, you know you're not supposed to go anywhere. You can run to a place where nothing has your label on it. Please meditate on it. And listen, this is how people get the direction. This is how people get direction. Somebody was about to get a job, resign a job and run to where they say business is flowing. Say, forget, it is your own in your own time. Listen, once you're running up and down looking for something, it's not your own. Once you're calling too many people, visiting too many people, it's not your own. When it was time to loosen Joseph, the king sent for him. That's what the Bible says. The king sent for him. The king sent for him. Go and check your scriptures. Anytime God wants to bless people, there's some sending that God does. Even Saul, when he was going to be made king, he was looking for sheep, obeying his father's instruction, looking for lost animals, donkeys. Even Jeroboam, he was just going. A prophet stopped him. Hey, you come. You are going to be king. Why don't we take instructions from these things? Listen, life responds to your faith. It responds to your faith. If you realize these things, you will be ready when Samuel will come. Many people, Samuel arrived because he will still come. But they are not there. They told their father, I'm tired. I know you don't treat me like a normal one amongst your children. See, he had run to Moab. He had gone to Midian to go and get his own fortune. So Samuel jumped his father's house and Luke went to another house. In returning and in rest, the Bible says you will be saved. Meditate on these things. Now declare it again. I'm in a green land.
I'm lying down in green pastures.
This land will yield its increase for me.
My blessing will find me.
My help will come to me.
Now, you're not psyching yourself. You are declaring the word of God.
Yes, say it again. This land will yield.
This land will yield
for me.
For me.
My blessing will find me.
My blessing will find me.
It will find me.
It will find me.
It will find me.
It will find me.
Say, my anointing is coming.
My anointing
my Samuel is coming.
My Samuel is coming.
The oil is in his hands.
The oil is in his hands.
And it is coming on my head.
And it's coming on my head.
No matter where I am right now.
No matter where I am right now.
My blessing is labeled. And it will come to me. Because God is the one directing it.
It's not a game of chance.
It has my name on it.
My blessing is commanded.
It has my name on
it.
Now let's declare divine protection. Like I said, it's food. It's food. It's the word of God. That's our food. We are feeding ourselves fat. Still Psalm 23. David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. Let's declare like David. Say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I fear no evil,
for the Lord is with me.
Lord,
say,
is
Say, I fear no evil,
I fear no evil,
for the Lord is with me.
For the Lord is with
say, his rod,
his rod
and his staff,
and his staff,
they comfort me.
They comfort
say,
me.
I am divinely protected.
I am divinely protected.
In my going out and my coming in,
my going out and my coming
it is well with me.
Well.
No evil will befall me.
No evil will befall me.
Because the Lord is with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. Say, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with my family.
Is with my children.
He perfects everything that concerns me. He surrounds me and my family with a hedge round about. The devil can't come in. So let's just talk about that again for a second. Please, there's no way in the Bible people were shooting, returning arrows to send us. I hope you get my point. Forget those prayers. Don't worry about them. Just know that in Christ Jesus you are protected. You are seated in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. That is the reality. Job, once Satan was speaking about Job, he said, I've left him alone. Why? God, you surrounded him with a hedge round about. And that God has not stopped. Always protecting. Remember his name? Always. Always with you. That's his name. Always. Ever present. He has not changed. Therefore, declare it again. I fear no evil.
I fear no evil.
Because the angel of the Lord encamp around me. And delivers me from all trouble. As a mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround me. No evil will befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling place. Say, he prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. He has anointed my head with oil and my cup overflows. Declare it again, my life is not an accident. I was born on purpose to fulfill the will of God for my life. Therefore, I have the anointing, the ability to fulfill the will of God for my life. I have everything I need to fulfill the will of God for my life. All my needs are supplied. Now let's declare this. Say,
surely,
goodness,
loving kindness
will follow me
all the days of my life,
and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Listen, that's breakfast. If you eat like this in the morning, eat like this in the afternoon, eat like this at night, take a snack here and there. Believe me, you will grow fat spiritually. No demon will throw you. You know those sons of Sceva? They were easy to throw because they were light in the realm of the spirit. They didn't have any substance. But we children of God, we have substance and we feed ourselves fat. Let me say this again. When I say sometimes it's like a joke, but let me tell you clearly, I'm not joking. When I say that we are the real babalawos, we are the real jazzmen. Because those guys don't know anything. Are you getting my point? God is not standing solidly behind them. I mean, I don't know why anybody wants to go and see a babalawo. You should come and see me. I'll give you two scriptures. If your heart is pure, use the scripture. You will see the result. Well, anyway, the truth that people like, they are walking in iniquity, so they are looking for those who will not ask them to depart from their sins. Let me say it again. We are the real babalawos. The problem is that we don't practice our incantations regularly. Every cult has its incantations. When you pick your Bible, that's the book of the incantations of the Lord. You pick your Bible, you pick Psalm 23 like we are looking at now. You are not just doing religious things. You are eating and you are declaring things into the air. That is what God needs. That's what the Bible talks about, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This one interpretation, when angels need to fight on your behalf, that's what they pick up. It's as if you are the one in charge of the armory. You know what they call armory? Where they store weapons. So when trouble breaks out, you have to release. But many people are so busy wondering why Aisha should be in the kitchen. Are you getting my point? So the angels say, give me something, give me something. They're like, I don't know what's going on in the government. Why should the judges, the Supreme Court judges' houses be invaded at midnight? Why couldn't they do it at 6 p.m.? I heard lawyers fighting over the fact that it was done at night. It's humiliating. Nobody discussed the fact that $1 million cash was found inside the house, entered at night. People are there disturbing themselves. The angels say, give me something, they go soon shoot you. The guy is not noticing. Listen, we are the ones that hand out weapons to angels. That's my understanding. What is the weapon? It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's the point I'm making. If we don't release these words, they don't have what to use to fight on our behalf. This must be our habit. Let me say it again. Always respond to every situation. And I don't mean not my portion. You know this kind of nebulous, senseless repetition. Say, not my portion. Not my portion. What is not your... Okay. You know what is not your portion. What is your portion? What is your portion? I hope you get my point. Listen, like I said, the scriptures, it's not variety. Locate your own for each... There's a scripture for each season of your life. Yeah, there's a scripture for each season. There are times that you look at it, all that's coming through your mind is skill. You find a scripture that God says concerning Bezalel, that I poured into him the spirit of the craftsman. So every morning you read it, the spirit of the craftsman is my portion in the name of Jesus. You start getting better at the job you are doing. That is, it can be you are making hair. Next time you make your hair, people start asking you, was that thing made by angels? Once you hear that, know you have made it. Because what happened is that the Spirit of God came upon you. You did a kind of thing. People did, they said, no, such a thing is not found amongst mere men. It lies with the gods. That's what they mean when they say, now Spirit, do this one. Are you getting my point? Why? Because you remembered regularly to declare that I have the Spirit of the craftsman, the Spirit of excellence. You're a student. Abba. If you're a student, you should be a friend with the story of Joseph and Daniel. Synthesize a bit of it and read every morning. You are going for lecture. Listen, I've had that experience personally. Holy Spirit teaches people things. So, look, Holy Spirit can give you expo. That's the one people like. But doesn't do it often. That's crisis mode. The one Holy Spirit likes all the time is that your teacher is talking. Holy Spirit says, don't mind him. Even he does not understand it. Then suddenly something just strikes you. Bam! And it's mathematics. It becomes vivid to you. You will never forget that formula. I hope you're getting my point here. But how do you activate such things? You're a student. Every day, look for the story of Daniel, the story of Joseph. Can we find one as discreet and as wise as you are, seeing that in you dwells the spirit of the gods? Say, I have the spirit of God inside me. That was the testimony of Pharaoh concerning Joseph. Concerning Daniel, he said, insight, understanding, ability to solve difficult problems was found in Daniel. That's a scripture. Just write that scripture out and declare it. That's breakfast. Next time you go to class, listen, forget, look. Man shall not live by bread alone. What does that mean? The one that is naturally intelligent, that is bread. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that is, this one is not naturally intelligent, but let every word enter his head. You will find intelligence that natural people can't understand. That is success for the child of God. I hope you get my point here. Let's give the Lord thanks again before we take our next prayer point. And we'll soon close. Just thank him again. Say, Lord, thank you because there's power with me. Thank you for righteousness. Thank you, there is power with me. Thank you for righteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want us to just do two things, then we'll close there. All right? First of all, let's pray for the Church of God in Nigeria. We've been talking about this again and again. This is my own understanding, and I feel so. There are times, you know, Apostle, do you get that feeling? You feel like you're a prophet. I'm having that feeling right now. It's as if I'm so convinced that God is saying all the angels necessary to bring forth. You see, you were asking me for uninterrupted power supply. The angel carrying 10,000 megawatts has it on his shoulder, but it's at the border. You want good roads, the angel that has tarred roads from heaven. You know? Tarred roads is there. Economic prosperity, the angels is carrying them bars and bars of gold. They are there. Why have they not entered? So there's a prince of Persia. There's a prince of different parts of Nigeria. Are you getting my point? Holding them back. Why have we not yet released Michael, the archangel, the prince of our people, to go and help these angels so that they can come in? But say, hey, that is where the matter is. We have not yet finished solving the problem. That's what they're saying. We have not yet finished solving the problem inside the church. I hope you're getting my point. God says, until you finish solving that problem, I can't do much.
So how do we solve the problem? He said, pray now. That's the only thing you can do. You can't fight anybody. One day some brethren gathered, they went and got police. They have brethren who are in the police and DSS. They said they want to start arresting false prophets. So one brother that was called to join them called me first. I said, what is it? He said, this is what they want to do. I said, that's the job God sent you. I said, my friend, go and preach your gospel. That even Jesus said that when they are sowing wheat, some people come and sow tares. He said, let's go and uproot them. He said, no. Jesus said, leave them alone. Are you the angel of God that will be arresting false prophets? He said, thank you, sir. He told you before, he's not doing. I said, look, at this time, you all lose your ministry. You are jealous for God's sake. No, that's not our method. Our method is what? We pray. Our method is what? We pray. That's what we do. Let's begin to pray for the body of Christ again in Nigeria. All right, what's the most important thing? Say, Lord, flood her with light again. Lord, flood her with light. Your truth. Say, Lord, flood her with light. Flood her with your truth. Flood her with understanding. In the name of Jesus. Lord, flood your people in this our nation with light and with understanding. It is written, I will give you pastors after my heart who will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, release these people, release these pastors, these shepherds. Raise them up. Raise them up. I want you to utter those words. Say, Lord, release them. Raise them up. Train them. Teach them. Empower them. Fill them with your anointing and send them far. Because he said the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. He said, but pray the Lord of the harvest to send. Say, Lord, we are asking you now according to the word of the Lord Jesus and the words of Jeremiah. Send these people into the harvest field. Send these ministers, these men, these women, who you have empowered and with understanding, with wisdom, with insight, pour grace upon them and send them, Lord, into the harvest field. Say, Lord, send them to the north, send them to the south, send them to the east, and send them far, Lord, to the west. Send them, Lord, to every nook and cranny of this country to go and build up your church again in truth. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, truth will fill your church. It will drive out covetousness. Say, Lord, it will drive out worldliness. It will drive out error. Truth will break down every wall of partitioning that you did not erect. Truth will bring in prosperity, pure, true prosperity, with which the kingdom will be spread abroad. Truth will protect your church. Truth will keep her pure. Say, Lord, send laborers into this harvest. As we are praying, pray again. Say, Lord, restore unity. Restore unity. Let us grow, Lord, into Christ and be one as Jesus and the Father, they are one. Lord, restore unity. Restore unity. Everywhere that there is division, Lord, restore unity. Restore unity. The other day we were talking about assemblies of God. Say, Lord, restore unity. Even amongst them, restore unity. In everywhere, in every place that true believers have turned their backs against themselves, Lord, restore unity. Specifically, I said, Lord, in Borno State, restore unity to your people. Show them what they are in Christ. Give them the spirit of wisdom. Specifically, pray for Borno State and Adamawa State. These are neighboring states. Lord, we pray for those states in that part of Nigeria. So that's northeast, yes. All those northeastern states, we pray for the Church of Christ there. Lord, pour your boldness into your preachers. Let them speak your word with boldness. In the name of Jesus. So Lord, deliver all your missionaries, all your preachers that you send into all these areas. Deliver them from evil. Deliver them from wild beasts. Deliver them from evil people. In the name of Jesus. Preserve their lives. Everyone who goes at the risk of his life for the advancement of the kingdom of God, we ask, Lord, that you will deliver.
Lord, we lift up your word that says no evil will befall them. No plague will come near them. In the name of Jesus. That the Lord will guide them. The sun shall not smite them by day, nor the moon by night. But Lord, they will advance in power. They will advance and the gates of hell will not prevail against them. In the name of Jesus. Let's declare, say, Lord, send revival all over this nation. The revival of the prophetic, the revival of the apostolic. People who will go to new places and break grounds. That your church will have insight concerning what to do. Let the gifts of the Spirit be poured abroad again. We want to see true miracles. Lord, that the blind will see, that the lame will walk, that the dead will be raised at the mention of the name of Jesus. In this country, that's what we need. We are not praying that PDP will change or APC will change. They are not our problem. The problem is that the church will be the church indeed. So let us pray. Say, Lord, pour that grace, that anointing, that apostolic anointing. Let's begin to call the church in Nigeria blessed. Say, Lord, we declare that this church is blessed. Just call it blessed. Say, the church in Nigeria is blessed. The body of Christ in this country is blessed. The body of Christ is pure. Sin has been washed away from her. Just declare those words. Say, sin has been washed away from her. Lies have been washed away from her. Impurity has been washed away from her. This body is blessed. This body is united. This body is blessed. This body is the body of Christ. It is pure. It is washed clean. Every doer of evil has been removed. Corrupting influences have been pulled away. In the name of Jesus, unclean prosperity has been removed from her. Covetousness has been pushed away from her. She is pure. The bride of Christ in this country is pure. Oh, declare that she is drawing the blessings of God into the land. She is drawing the blessing of God into the land. Because of her, God is pouring blessing upon this land. Because of her, God is pouring blessing upon this land. Let's begin to give God thanks for this nation, for the church of God in this nation. Say, Lord, thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you. The church is advancing. The church of God in Nigeria is advancing. Thank you, Father God. Let's give him thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want us to understand something. Listen. I believe that these are the kind of prayers we should pray. And all other things will be added to us. Did you hear what I said? Yes, all other things will be added. Pray these kind of prayers regularly. Pray that the body of Christ will be anointed to tell the truth, to preach the true gospel, to carry truth into areas that people did not know it before. Listen, when we pray that prayer, all other things will be added. Not only for the nation, in your own personal life. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. Once again, let's give God thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. All other things are added to me. I don't have to focus on them. They are added to me. I don't have to focus on them. They are added to me. Declare it. I don't have to focus on them. They are added to me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Again, let's declare, say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The church in this country is blessed.
The church in this country is blessed.
And because of her,
this nation is blessed.
Say, this nation is blessed.
This nation is blessed.
Say, peace upon Nigeria.
Peace upon Nigeria.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
Let's quickly obey one in scriptural injunction. The Bible says clearly that we should pray for those who are in authority. Not criticize those who are in authority. You know, many of us heard the story, what is it? Ruben Abati. Yes, he's been going around making the rounds. It excited me simply because we preached about it here not too long ago. Now, anyway, that's not the gist. The gist is about people say that is it witchcraft. I say, listen, that's not the issue. My own issue is that how did they get there? Are you getting my point? That's my own. It's not about, is that why Jonathan didn't do well? That's not my issue. My issue is that the main source of witchcraft in Nigeria is when the real Babalawos are not doing their job. When the people who are supposed to be the intercessors have become the accusers. when they are the ones that will say that, yes, I never believe Buhari will do anything. That is why he can't do anything. I hope you are getting my point. As these senators, they are all criminals. That is why they will continue to steal your money. The real power lies with the church. It does not lie with the Babalawo somewhere. No. The real power lies with the church. The amount of power the negative forces have is dependent upon the amount of power the church refuses to execute. The amount of power the church refuses to utilize. And utilization is not just when we join our hands and deliberately pray. It's when we talk casually. Those that fear the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord heard. It is very important. It's not only when we gather like this, it's in your normal conversation. Look, like I keep on saying, when it was voting time, I voted for Jonathan. But the moment the current president became the president, you don't hear negative things about him from my mouth. I am so positive. In fact, when some people find out I didn't vote for him, they are surprised. Like, are you serious? I'm obeying scripture. I'm a man of God. You get my point? We obey scripture. We obey scripture. My talk is not about my experience with him personally. No. My words are prophetic. There is intercessory. Our words control him more than we realize. Now let's declare the word of God to the seat of power. I said it 2 weeks ago here. I said the place where the highest occultic powers in Nigeria are headed. It was 2 Saturdays that is from this last Saturday that passed. It was 2 Saturdays before that. I said the place where they are focused on the most is Aso Rock. Why? They don't have time to be killing small, small people that only own 2 goats and 1 small plot of land they inherited from their great grandfather. That one cannot turn to billions. You think occultic man doesn't want money? Nobody joins occult just because he wants to feel like a witch. Let me join tougher coven. If the coven is not producing anything material, even GP, look at what Satan said. He said, all these have been given to me and the glories thereof. The glory is this. The glories of the kingdoms. It's all the glamour and the wealth that goes with it. So when men are joining cults, it's not so that they can just, who can fly the highest. No. They hear all these stories, say Benin witch, they fly for night, they come for four. Those are not real witches. The real ones, they are making money. They are making billions. If you see witch, wait, just know, say, now, mental case, no bewitch. I hope you are getting my point. No, what am I trying to emphasize? So, when occultic powers are facing the seat of power, we were sitting down here criticizing. Since I was young, men have been criticizing. I was small. I was a little boy. The first president I knew in Nigeria. Actually, I was alive. I was aware enough. Yes, that's the word. When Murtala was killed. That one I remember. Because the name Dimka was everywhere. I still remember that. I was a little boy. But I was aware enough. I knew when Obasanjo, I wasn't aware of him again, you know, as a little boy, wasn't concerned because he was in power. But when he handed over to Shagari, I was there. I remember my parents going to vote for Awu and all of that. I knew when he handed over to Shagari. I remember 12 2/3, the time of 12 2/3. It was the gist everywhere. Everybody analyzing that because you're supposed to win 2/3 of the states. And Shagari won 12 states. Are you getting my point?
Yeah.
Yes, you know, Shagari won 12, he got 1/3 in 12 states. Which technically by the law is less than 2/3 of Nigerian 18 states then. The number of states we had in Nigeria at that time, he was supposed to win 19 states. He was supposed to win 12 2/3. So I would drag the thing down to Supreme Court. Because everybody felt that the simple summary of 12 2/3 should have been what? 13. But Shagari won only 12. But was declared president. I was there. I was there when Umaru Edeko disappeared 4.2 billion naira. When naira was 75 kobo to $1. So that's an equivalent of like $5 point something to $6 billion of today. Vanished under rice importation scheme. I was aware enough. You know, I remember all of those things. Came and organized and kidnapped Umaru Edeko and put him inside crates in London. Went to put him on a plane to fly him down to Nigeria. That's when they caught them. What I'm trying to say, since the time I was a little boy, they criticized, what is his name, Murtala Muhammad, criticized Obasanjo, criticized Shagari. they always happen when one government will go, another one will come. Criticism since that time. And so it will continue. Are you getting my point? Why am I saying so? The church is supposed to be what? Different. I'm not bragging, but the Lord has helped me. I give him the glory. Since I became an adult and learned the word of faith, I stopped criticizing presidents. Not because I loved them personally, but because it's the instruction of God. That's all. Abacha was head of state all those years. I did not speak one word against him, not one day. Not one day. The last thing I said about him was like, I told one brother, what you are doing is wrong. And I stood up later in the evening and I preached for my brethren. I said, look, that's not our job as believers. Our job is to pray for the head of state. If God is tired of him, he will kill him. The man died the following month. I did not even know I was prophesying his death. I said, when God is tired, he will kill him. And then he won't beg you for that, for permission to do that. The following month, the man died. I hope you're getting my point. We must be what? Different. We must be what?
Different.
We must be what?
Different.
Find something good to say all the time about the head of state, about his deputy, about the structure of power in Nigeria. Let's not give our words to the babalawos that are negative. Listen, let's do something. In your mind's eye, face as a rock again. In your mind's eye. Now remember, you have his power. Because we are not wearing, we don't have white chalk on our faces, doesn't mean we are not generating power. We are not using white chalk because our power doesn't need chalk. It needs the word of God. Are you getting my point? So your minds are generating the power. Begin to mutter inside your heart in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you, because Nigeria is your own. In your heart, begin to say it. Say, Lord, thank you, because Nigeria is your own. You have a purpose for it. You choose the leaders. You choose the leaders. You are the King of kings. You are the King of heads of states. You are the Lord of presidents. Say, Jesus, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are in charge of our nation. Declare it inside your heart. Now utter this word. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Peace upon Aso Rock.
Peace upon Aso Rock.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, angels of God.
Angels of God.
Take over the place.
Take over the place.
Enforce the will of God. Say, in the name of Jesus, every negative force walking against the plan of God, we rebuke it in Jesus' name. We declare, disappear, get away from there. In the name of Jesus. Let's say again, in the name of Jesus.
Angels of God,
protect the head of state. In the name of Jesus.
Peace upon that place.
Say this, the will of God
will be executed
in the name of Jesus. Say,
justice
will be decreed
in Jesus' name.
Say, in the name of Jesus, prosperity
will be executed
in the name of Jesus. Freedom
for the advancement of the gospel,
for the blessing of the populace,
we emanate from that place
in the name of Jesus. Say, unjust decrees
will not come forth.
We rebuke them.
We command them to stop.
Now listen to this. Say, every mouth. Now listen. Before we say it, what I want to pray is about Ahithophels, who are so wise that they know how to make Absalom take over David. There are those who know how to plot. I was reading the story. You know, because that time I said something. I decided to go and confirm whether what I said was true or not. Obasan just said he went to meet Yaradua. So why did you, and this, you know, then I was preaching that imagine that Dangote and Co. were allowed to take the refineries more than 12 years ago when Obasanjo was leaving power. After Obasanjo was more, it was total of 8 years, you know, Yaradua, then Jonathan. Okay? I said, imagine that till now, those guys, you know, what would have happened? It wouldn't be important for it today. But why did they reverse it? Because the spirit of foolishness was sent into Aso Rock. Yeah, that's what happened. So when Ruben Abati was saying what he said, I said, look, this is what we have been saying. So when I was editing that message, I said, let me just verify that what I said was true. So I Googled up and found out Obasanjo, yeah, the news report is everywhere. Obasanjo said that he went then to Yaradua and said, why did you reverse the sales of the refineries? So Yaradua said, the pressure was too much. He said, he asked him, say, what do you mean pressure? You mean that pressure of vested interest, you took that above, that before that of the nation, that he sold the refineries for $750 million, two of them. He said, by the time he was talking to Yar'Adua, they were no longer worth $250. Why did you do this? And the man said, the pressure was too much. Have mercy on those men. Pressure day. Pressure day is not a joke. The man will know what is right to do. But Ahithophel will come. That's, you know, that's where we began from. Ahithophel will give him counsel to do that which is wrong. I want us to pray like David. In your mindset, go back there. Say, Father, every Ahithophel. Repeat it. Say, every Ahithophel. That's bringing devilish wisdom. So as to corrupt governance in Nigeria. Say, Lord, turn that wisdom to foolishness. In the name of Jesus. Say, Father, negative wisdom. Turn it to foolishness. Now remember what, how God did that of Ahithophel. What happened? Absalom refused to listen. Let's pray. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, our head of state will not listen. The ministers will not listen. The vice president will not listen. Everyone in power will not listen to the counsel of Ahithophel that wants to overtake David, that wants to overtake our blessings in this nation. In the name of Jesus. My brethren, praying is not more difficult than that. Listen, it's not more difficult than that. If you don't know what to say again, say these ones we have used today. When you want to pray for the country, say, Lord, every Ahithophel, turn their counsel to foolishness. It's simple. God knows what you are saying. Even you know what you are saying. Let's say it again. Say, Father, every counsel of Ahithophel in Aso Rock, turn it to foolishness. Let's begin to give thanks. Let's go home. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. It's a good country. I want you to say it as you are giving thanks. It's a green land for me. It's a green land for me. I'm lying there in green pastures. I am lying there in green pastures. I am lying there in green pastures. I am productive. That's the meaning of the word green. I am lying there in green pastures. I'm not just eating, though. I'm productive. I'm producing something good. My hand is producing. I am productive. I am lying there in green pastures. It's green all around me. I call green to come. Green arise. In the name of Jesus, I am productive. In all that I do, I prosper. I have, not only do I have a job, I create. I'm a job creator. I empower people to succeed. In the name of Jesus, I am not a slave anymore. I am not running up and down looking for blessing. I am already blessed in Christ Jesus. I am not a slave anymore. I am not a slave anymore. I am free. Declare it, I am free. In all that I do, I prosper. The land is green. This land is green for me. I am lying there in green pastures. Give him thanks. Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you are blessed today, say an amen.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor, say,
you are a winner.
You are in a good land.
You are in green pastures.
It is well with us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As you depart from here, I declare to you that goodness will go with you.
Amen.
Mercy will not depart from you.
Amen.
You will be productive in all that you put your hands to do.
Amen.
Prosperity will come out of your hands.
Amen.
Listen, one thing I found out, I thought about it again today. I mentioned a lot about Nigeria's situation. Most people are just eaters. They're begging for jobs so that they can sit down and be eating. The culture of productivity is not there. So government will employ 20 people to do the job that two people can do effectively. And they all say they have a good job. That's a bad job. Are you getting my point? I'm not saying you should run away yet, but just know your job is bad. If you are working in a place where 2 people can do the work that 20 of you have an employee to do, that's a bad job. I know it's giving you money, but it's a bad job. You are not producing enough. It's below your level. So I prophesy to you that you will be productive in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will not only eat, but you will produce.
Amen.
Because of you, many will eat.
Amen.
Because of you, many will be well.
Amen.
Because of you, many will be happy.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Are we ready? One, two, let's go.
Amen.
Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from an angry curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication. In the name of Jesus. Please bless somebody on your left and on your right.
This is